Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
This is a puck.
Hump.
I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
PP Herder.
Blood Puddle.
First Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
He Butted.
Boom Chicka Wow Wow.
No No Touchy Place.
Beer.
Broken Penis.
Vitellary Filipula.
Filipuli.
Filipalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And here we are. Iceman Insights on Amusement Park Radio. Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com, joining us pre-live in studio here on Wednesday afternoon, 111 Northwest 4th Street in beautiful downtown Evansville. Michael, how are you doing today?
Fantabulous.
It's good to hear. How about that weather?
Yeah, it's beautiful,
it
man.
Is.
Just
it
bottle
is.
This and keep it forever.
That would be great. They're goners, part Duix.
Parlez-vous Frank Ace?
Yeah. Poor Madame Courts back up in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, rolling over in
yeah,
her. Well,
she's
wait, is she still with us?
4 years. I think she is.
Okay, then I hope she's not rolling over in her grave then. So as a follow-up to last week, a few more Iceman players who have signed elsewhere since last week's show. As you alluded to last week, Nathan Moon has officially re-signed with the Colorado Eagles.
Actually, I didn't allude to it. I told you after the show that
yeah,
he had
that he
officially
had, yeah.
signed.
Yeah. He was in town over the weekend, well, still.
Yep.
We'll get to that later. Peter Sakaris officially signed by the Cincinnati Cyclones. That was also mentioned last week.
Excited to see him play. Great player, just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, indeed. Tyler Shattuck signed by the Kalamazoo Wings. Kevin Lynch signed by the Florida Everblades.
Good signing by them. I'm a big Kevin Lynch fan.
And I was happy to see this one. Jeremy Langlois has signed his first ever NHL contract, a two-way deal with the San Jose Sharks. Folks will probably remember he played mostly in the ECHL as a rookie 2 years ago, including 49 games with the Icemen. But then last season he stuck in the AHL for the whole year, had 26 points in 42 games with the Worcester Sharks. He has been on AHL deals to this point in his career, but now he's got himself an NHL contract. He will start the season in the AHL with the San Jose Barracuda, which is the Worcester franchise relocated.
Barracuda.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm very happy to see that. Langlois, we talked when he was playing for the Icemen that he could very well be the first player, and now we know he won't be, but he could be the first skater from the Iceman who works his way up to the NHL. He's got some serious talent.
He does. I believe he is also engaged.
Really?
Yep. Coming soon from an affiliate not near you.
Yeah, you like that?
I do.
So taking a look at some players under contract with Ottawa and Binghamton who should be on the Evansville radar this season. We start with four players who are virtual locks to start the season with the Icemen. Goaltender Scott Grenham, as we've known for a while, he is under AHL contract with Binghamton. Split last season between the AHL and the ECHL, mostly with Binghamton. He will be in a timeshare with the Icemen to begin the season in net. On defense, former Fort Wayne Comet big 6'5" veteran Nick Tuzzolino, who has been signed to an AHL deal by Binghamton. Last season, he had 23 points in 55 ECHL games and 2 points in 14 AHL games. They have signed him to an AHL deal, and he is expected to start the year here. And then a couple of rookie forwards. Alex Weidman is under an AHL contract. He played 2 years in the USHL, 51 points in 115 games up in Indy with the Indiana Ice, and then 4 years of NCAA D1 hockey, 56 points in 140 games at Miami of Ohio. And the other youngin' who will almost certainly be here is Matthew Zay, who's on an AHL deal. He played 4 years of NCAA D1 at Mercyhurst University, had 128 points in 151 games, and after his freshman year, he was essentially a point-per-game player with 114 points in 115 games.
You don't say.
Oh,
bam!
I see what you did there. Don't do it again.
Got a few guys on the fence.
Yeah, six players on the fence between the ECHL and the AHL. In all likelihood, three of these six will start the season with the Icemen. There are four forwards, two defensemen. The fours are, on an NHL deal, is Vincent Dunn, a 20-year-old rookie. He was a fifth-round pick of the Sens in 2013. This is his first year of his NHL entry-level contract. Spent 4 years in the major juniors in the Q. Had 135 points in 149 games in his last three seasons there. Ryan Penny, a forward on an AHL deal. He's 21, 5 years in the Q. Peaked last season with 70 points in 66 games and was captain of his team for the past two seasons. A familiar name, Dalton Levier, signed to an AHL deal by Binghamton. He had 17 points in 26 games in France last year. And, of course, 2 years ago, he had 22 goals and 47 points with the Icemen. Another familiar name, Danny Hobbs, on an AHL deal again with Binghamton. Last year, he played 17 games with the Icemen and also 27 with Bingo. And another familiar name, Troy Rutkowski, on defense. He is still under NHL contract. Last year, played 54 games with the Icemen and 15 up in the AHL with Binghamton. And then the other defenseman is Chris Carlisle, a 20-year-old rookie, played 4 years in the OHL, peaked last season with 44 points in 68 games. It seems to be that he has AHL talent, but they don't really have room for him up there, so there's a decent chance he'll end up down here. Of these six, Dunn is probably the most likely to stick in Binghamton, and then the BSens will keep one of the other three forwards and one of those two defensemen. Right now, it's just too early to say which ones will get sent down and which ones will stay up. A lot of that will probably come down to A, how they look in camp, and B, what Ottawa wants to do.
And then what about Guy Lepine? You think he comes back?
No, I do not. I think he is among the players who will start the season in Binghamton and likely will be up there for most of the season, if not all of it. But we can't rule out spending a little time with the Icemen. Lepine first on that list. He is on an AHL contract. Split last season almost equally, 35 games with the Icemen and 38 games with Binghamton. He is currently slated for Binghamton's third defensive pairing along with a big, and I mean big, rookie named Ben Harper. This is the first year of his entry-level contract after Ottawa took him in the fourth round back in 2013. He's only 20, but he is a large one, 6'6", 212 pounds. Spent 4 years in the OHL. And his best season was last year when he had 31 points in 67 games. And then in net, we expect Grenham to start the season here, and we expect Matt O'Connor and Chris Dreger to split time up in Binghamton. Both of them are under NHL contract. Dreger, as we know, is in the second year of his three-year entry-level deal, and last year became the first player in Iceman history to make his NHL debut after playing for Evansville. O'Connor is an undrafted free agent. Ottawa signed him to a two-year entry-level deal this summer. They're really high on him, and he's going to be given every chance to shine in Binghamton. He's another big kid who's also 6'6". He led Boston University to the Frozen Four championship game last year.
See the one that had the puck trouble?
The terrible own goal, yes. But overall, he had a very solid season. As a senior, he went 25-4-4 with a .218 goals against average and a .927 save percentage. The general thought was that of undrafted free agent goalies who were coming out of college, he was the best one available this year, and the Sens signed him. So they think very highly of him. It sounds like, again, he and Dreger will start together up in Binghamton, and the thought is they will stay up there all season, but you never know what happens. If one of them really starts to shine and they want to get the other one some work, they may call Grenham up because he's more of a known commodity and could serve as that veteran mentor backup goalie to get the other guy some work. So we'll see what happens. Count on Grenham early in the season, but we can't rule out seeing either O'Connor or Dreger at some point during the season, depending on how they play.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see Dalton Levier come back to town. That would be cool to see. Well, not for obviously, I hope he stays in the A, but,
well, yeah, but
it would be
but
cool
it,
to
but
see
him. But if he comes down, yeah, it'll be nice to see him again.
Thunderbolts take off.
Sort of. Friday night in the Evansville Thunderbolts' first ever game, they lost 5-4 to the Point Mallard Ducks, got outshot 46-24, but generally played pretty well. It was cool to see Newburgh native and Evansville Thunder product John Grimm score the first goal in Thunderbolts history. He also had 2 assists and was +3 in that game. And he did not look out of place one bit. He really
well. He played in the league last
yeah,
year,
exactly.
Down in Texas.
Right.
So.
And you can tell he's
the real deal.
Polished. Yes. They did not announce attendance on Friday night, but we went, and I would have estimated it was probably 600 to 700, somewhere around there. It wasn't a sellout, but it was a very good crowd. But much like the very early days of the Iceman at Swander, not quite sure what to do with itself.
Yeah.
Like it was a good game, yep. And it was back and forth, but there were a lot of people there who clearly don't go to very many hockey games. So it was an interesting atmosphere. I don't know how it was on Saturday, the rematch against
Pretty
Point
much
Mallard.
Pretty much the same thing. It was fun. Yeah. You've got the announced attendance at 420.
Yeah.
I thought it was more than that, to
really?
Be honest. Yeah, I thought it was closer to 800. So.
Really?
Yep. But that was just me guessing, so maybe it was. Maybe we were all more spread out than
math
I
is
thought.
Hard.
Yeah, math is hard. So, but yeah, kind of the same thing. And, you know, it's not a professional game, but boy, does it feel like the old days of Swander. Mm-hmm. It just every bit of it, everyone was talking and hanging out in the corridors, and it was a lot of people from 5, 6, 7 years ago. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, unfortunately, Saturday didn't go very well. They lost 8-2, and it wasn't really even that close. It was 8-0 midway through the third period. The Bolts got outshot 62-15, which that also sounds like some of the old Iceman games.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that close.
Yeah. Part of the problem was Point Mallard dressed a full roster of 18 skaters both nights, but the Bolts only dressed 16 on Friday and 14 on Saturday because one guy got hurt Friday night and one got suspended. So they were shorthanded, and the second half of a back-to-back, it hurt. But anyway, so we've talked about the on-ice. What about the off-ice? What did you think? I know their goal song is Click, Click, Boom, which is an interesting choice. Their goal horn is actually an air raid siren.
Love it.
And
though I didn't hear it because I was long gone before it went off.
Yeah, you never heard it. Well, let's just say that their PA announcer and their music need some work.
It
takes time.
I absolutely love it. From the very beginning, we have said on this radio show and on this radio station that this is not the Iceman. This is not the Ford Center experience. And
right.
It is never going to be professional hockey, and it is never going to be a professional song and dance. I don't expect the Zuper Troopers and Fur Circus.
The Zuper Troopers?
Yeah, isn't that what that group's called?
The Zuper Stars.
Oh, okay.
But I like Zuper Troopers. Yeah. You should trademark that.
Maybe. There's going to be no Moscow Bar Trio. None of that stuff is going to happen. And it is an awesome opportunity to watch these kids develop, and it's an awesome opportunity for off-ice hockey fans to develop,
mm-hmm.
Your public address announcer and your music guy and everything else.
Right.
So I thought it was fantastic. Like I said, it brought me all the way back to 7 years ago. I actually thought, like, oh, gosh, do I got to go into the pro shop and sharpen skates, which I did for 2 years while the Icemen were at Swander Ice Arena. So I thought it was absolutely wonderful, and I can't wait to go back this weekend.
And it is cool, too. Where else can you go and see a kid from Newburgh play in a national league?
Yes. Well, and where else can you go to watch hockey for $5
exactly,
and get a $4 pop?
Yeah.
So they got the nice little beer garden set up and everything else. All their merchandise is fantastic right there for sale. It was a lot of fun.
Agreed.
So I absolutely enjoyed it.
So are the Zuper Troopers, is that when the Zuper Stars come to Star Wars night?
I was actually thinking, wasn't there a Super Trooper movie?
Yeah.
So it's like superstars like drinking
doing
beer
super
and,
troopers.
And yeah, and cursing and stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That would make them better.
It would.
Maybe not to Ivy and children, but to us it would make them better.
Indeed. Shockers, Hockey Rock Song of the Week.
So since today, September 23rd, would have been the 85th birthday of the late, great Ray Charles, this is a classic song for penalties and ejections to the opponent. From 1961, it's Ray Charles, Hit the Road, Jack.
You say away, 'cause I'll be back on my feet someday.
Don't care if you do, 'cause it's understood. You ain't got no money, you just ain't no good.
Well, I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road.
Said,
don't you come back no more.
I didn't understand
you. Don't you come back no more.
You can't mean that.
And don't you come back
no more. Oh, now, baby, please.
Don't you come back no more.
What you trying to do to me?
Now, Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
Hey, we're back. Segment two.
Wait, where'd we go?
We, well, there was music playing. And we danced together in
well,
the studio.
There was that.
There was that. Shocker, Dirty D, the, Iceman Insights.
The disco ball still spinning.
NHL offseason recaps. Now the West Coast.
Yes. The Pacific Division.
Yes.
Plus the Penguins and Leafs.
Which we didn't get done last
we
week.
We didn't get to last week.
Because we were too busy dancing last week as
right.
well.
First, though, a few more updates from the Eastern Conference from after last week's show as camps begin and rosters are finalized. The Florida Panthers re-signed restricted free agent forward Jonathan Huberdeau, 2 years, $3.25 million per year. They also signed Martin Havlat from New Jersey and David Booth from your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs to tryouts. The New York Islanders signed Marek Zidlicky from Detroit, 1 year at $1.5 million, and Steve Bernier from New Jersey, 1 year at $750,000. And they re-signed RFA Brock Nelson, who we talked about last week, a 3-year bridge deal at $2.5 million a year, which is probably not as much as he was hoping for.
Probably not. Probably why it took so long to get it signed.
And he decided $2.5 million a year is better than having to sit out.
Yep.
And the Islanders made a trade with the Leafs, but we'll get to that later.
A lot of names,
a lot of bodies, yeah.
Can't wait to talk about it. Stay tuned, folks, for the little teaser.
And the New Jersey Devils, Soupy's Devils, signed one of our favorites, Yuri T. Lusty.
T. Lusty, got the pictures to prove it.
From Winnipeg, a 1-year deal at $800,000, which could be a very good bargain. He's a solid second to third line player.
He's a solid second to third line scorer.
Yeah.
Not player. Players play in all three zones. Scorers are Bill
Nadeau. One zone only?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bill Nadeau.
Sorry. ETHL started
just threw
up.
Him under the bus,
I
man.
Sure did.
And the
bus won't hit him because the bus even comes in the defensive zone every once in a while. Sweet goodness. He's safe down at the far end.
Wait, doesn't he play defense?
Exactly.
Okay, that's why. Okay. just thought I was missing something here. The Devils also signed Lee Stempniak from the Jets to a tryout. So there's your catching up on the Eastern Conference. And now to the West. We begin north of the border with the Edmonton Oilers.
Still not going to make the playoffs.
They sucked and sucked and sucked and managed to win the lottery again. And this time they actually have a very good number one player, Connor McDavid.
The other ones were very good number one players.
Well, that's
they
true.
They just did a poor job developing
that's
them.
That's true. This one, I don't know that they're going to be able to screw up.
It is the Oilers.
That's true, yeah. Perhaps the greatest generational talent since Sidney Crosby. Number one overall, McDavid has signed his three-year entry-level deal. The Oilers also signed defenseman Andre Sequeira from the Kings, 6 years at $5.5 million a season. They re-signed defenseman Justin Schultz, 1 year at $3.9 million. They extended defenseman Oscar Klefbom, he of 77...
Wait.
Klefbom. Yes, sorry.
He is the bomb.
Oh, boy.
I have to correct you because this is a civil war in my house. I love that name. My favorite
Klefbom?
Name in hockey. Rebecca hates it. She leaves the room when the announcers, when he comes on the ice.
I thought your favorite name was Klitsum.
No, it used to be, but no. Oscar Klefbom.
Klefbom. All right. He of all of 77 career NHL games gets a seven-year extension worth $4.17 million per year starting next year. So
former NHL forward, mostly with the Carolina Hurricanes, Jeff O'Neill. He is on Leafs Lunch Radio, and he said the Edmonton Oilers, the worst team, and you can't afford them. So they're not going to make the playoffs, and they're in salary cap hell. They're the worst of everything.
Zoinks. They also acquired goaltender Cam Talbot and a seventh-round pick from the Rangers for a second-rounder, a third-rounder, and a seventh-rounder. Talbot is under contract for one more year at about $1.5 million. They let Derek Roy, or Waugh, depending on what you choose, go via free agency. They hired Todd McClellan, who spent 7 years in San Jose, as their new head coach, 5 years at $3 million a year, which is tied with Dan Bylsma for the second biggest coaching contract in NHL history. And they hired Peter Chiarelli, who spent 9 years in Boston and won a cup with the Bruins, to replace Craig McTavish as general manager.
Yep. Last two moves are the best two moves. I like Todd McClellan.
I agree.
And Peter Chiarelli, this is a front office nightmare, and it doesn't matter how good your coach is. If your front office sucks, a.k.a. the Toronto Maple Leafs, you're not going to win. It just doesn't work. It doesn't matter how much talent you have. It's more to the team happens in the front office than you realize. Mm-hmm. So, and it has an effect on the players. Other than that, they got Connor McDavid, and they've got a bunch of 4, 5, and 6 defensemen that they are paying 1, 2, and 3 money to. So that is not a recipe for long-term success.
No.
How are they going to get Cam Talbot under the salary cap next year?
I don't know. They're going to try to trade Klefbom.
We'll take them. Calgary Flames. Now you want to talk about a team that's doing it right.
Yes. Their big splash was acquiring the rights to defenseman Dougie Hamilton from Boston for a first-round pick and a pair of second-rounders. He was then signed to a new deal, 6 years at $5.75 million a year. They also extended defenseman Mark Giordano.
Which is $250,000 more than Andre Sekera.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. They extended defenseman Mark Giordano 6 years at $6.75 million a year starting next season. He will be 38 in the final year of that deal.
I will take Giordano over Klefbom and Schultz together.
Yeah, no.
I would rather play shorthanded with only four skaters and have Giordano than those two guys on the back end.
Yeah, that's probably not a stretch. The Flames also signed Michael Frolik from Winnipeg, 5 years at $4.3 million a year. And they re-signed goaltender Kari Raimo 1 year at $3.8 million. Definitely a team moving in the right direction.
Yep, no doubt about it. And as long as they stay healthy, they're going to go deep this year. The Canucks. I like the Canucks. We talked a little bit about this last week on the amusement park.
It's a team that's moving in a direction. I'm not sure what direction, but they're moving in a direction.
They're going.
You think?
Yep.
They acquired Brandon Sutter and a third-round pick from Pittsburgh for Nick Bonino, a prospect, and a second-rounder. Sutter under contract for one more year at $3.3 million, and then they gave him an extension 5 more years at $4.4 million starting next year. They also unloaded a couple of people, traded Kevin Bieksa to Anaheim for a second-round pick, and Eddie Lack to Carolina for a third-round pick and a seventh-round pick, and they let Sean Mathias go via free agency.
Got a lot of young draft picks that are going to have an effect on the team in a good way. Brandon Sutter comes in. He'll take over as that second-line center. The Sedins get older. Their roles will begin to diminish. The kids will begin to take over. It's kind of a rebuild on the fly, and I expect them to make the playoffs again.
You think?
I do.
We'll see.
They every year in the past 3 years, they've scored more goals per average per game and less goals against per average per game.
So my question for you about the Canucks is, with Eddie Lack out of the picture,
yep.
How long does it take Jacob Markstrom to supplant Ryan Miller as the starter?
And that's what I like about it. If Miller plays 55 games this year, then they're going to make the playoffs. If he plays 35 games this year, they're going to make the playoffs. And it's the same thing. They're transitioning to the younger guys. And then Markstrom is a fantastic kid going back 2 years ago when he was in Florida, which is why Vancouver wanted to make the trade, sending their old netminder,
Luongo
out. So
Bobby Lou.
So, yep, I like him. Coyotes. Now, here's a team that I don't like.
Who does?
It's just so sad. They were building something there, and they ran out of money, and it shows on the ice.
Yeah. So they signed Antoine Vermette from the Blackhawks 2 years at $3.75 million a year, and defenseman Zbigniew Michalek from the Blues 2 years.
That's actually pronounced Mecha-Leka-Hi-Mecha-Hiney-Ho.
You said Heine.
I said ho as well.
You did.
Oh, true. I got to call my wife.
Oh! Do you know a divorce lawyer?
I do. We got a whole building full of them next door. I'm just come covered.
Yeah, okay. Michalek from the Blues, 2 years at $3.2 million a year. Both of them were traded by the Coyotes at last year's trade deadline and are essentially rentals returning home. Why they'd want to return there is beyond me, but
well,
anyway.
Vermette's got it perfect.
He's ready to retire.
He's got a Stanley Cup. He's got big money and going back to a nice warm climb so he can golf every day.
They're very true. They also drafted Dylan Strome at number 3 overall, signed him to an entry-level deal. He is a player that in any year without McDavid and Eichel would have been a very solid number 1 overall draft pick. He had 129 points in 68 games in the OHL last season, so he's a good one.
Yep.
They also re-signed Michael Boedeker 1 year at $3.75 million. They let Martin Erat leave, and he went over to the KHL. And
addition by subtraction.
Yeah.
There.
And they acquired defenseman Nicklas Grossman and the contract of retired, long-since-retired defenseman Chris Pronger from the Flyers for Sam Gagner and a conditional third- or fourth-round pick. Grossman is under contract for one more year at $3 million. Pronger will carry a cap hit of $4.9 million for the next 2 years. And the Coyotes will now have over $9 million in cap space devoted to players who will not actually play for them this season. Between Pronger, who is retired, Mike Ribeiro, who they bought out last summer, and Keith Yandel, who they traded to the Rangers last year but retained half of his salary in that deal. But even with $9 million in dead money on the books, they're still only about $4.8 million over the salary floor.
There is jokes about the fact that Pronger is entering into the Hall of Fame and Philadelphia is going to retire his number, and would Arizona retire his number as well since he is officially, by the paperwork, a member of the team. So
right.
They do have their first ever Hall of Famer.
There you go.
San Jose Sharks.
I think we're out of time for them.
Oh,
we're going to have to move on.
Push it to overtime.
Yeah, next time. It's almost time to go camping. The Icemen have announced some new details about training camp. First off, the players will report next Wednesday, September 30th. Camp officially begins next Thursday, October 1st. And then also newly announced on Tuesday, October 6th at 6:15, they will have an intra-squad scrimmage at the beautiful Edge Ice Center in Owensboro, Kentucky. It is free to the public, but they will be accepting donations to benefit the Owensboro Youth Hockey Association, and the scrimmage will be followed by a 30-minute skate with the players session with autographs and photo opportunities.
Interesting. A Tuesday night deal this year.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Cool. Final thoughts.
Yep.
We got some bad news and final thoughts as well.
Yeah, you will be out of town next week.
Yep.
So what's the bad news?
Yeah, oh, there's no you on the radio. That's the bad news.
Oh.
Iceman Insights.
I see what you did there.
The amusement park in its entirety will be canceled next week due to work saying you get to go to Arkansas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're at Arkansas.
Stuttgart.
Oh, I thought that was in Germany.
It is. It's the sister city.
Really?
Yep. Stuttgart, wow.
What is that?
Arkansas.
Population 37?
Unless you're counting mosquitoes, then it's 10,000 bajillion.
Gotcha. So, yeah.
Math is hard.
You're out of town next week, so our next show will be in 2 weeks on October 7th. More Iceman roster talk, and we will truly finish up our NHL offseason recaps. Any teams we don't get to during the on-air portion of that show, we will be doing an overtime segment,
yes,
exclusive to the podcast, next show, October 7th, and we'll finish it up for reals, yo.
5 hour overtime.
Give or take.
Bring drinks. He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, webmaster for IcemanManiacs.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Any information you need on the Evansville Iceman, you can check it out on IcemanManiacs.com. This has been Iceman Insights on 96.9 FM, Wired Radio.
Music bomb.
Oh, 96.9 FM. I said that.
Wired?
Yeah.
Do bomb? It. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.